Recap, we talked about authenticity, and then last week we talked about we are family. When you become a Christian, you have brothers and sisters spiritually, and we are family. That connection and bond is much stronger and much deeper than your immediate family. But the reality is, a lot of times you aren't close with your immediate family. You're sometimes closer with your friends than you are with your family. And that's true here today. Where we're all family, brothers and sisters, but some of you guys are closer to some people more than you are with your other family members. That's just natural. Some of you guys just get along better with others. That's not wrong. And so we're going to talk about this, spiritual friendship today, because it's very important for our ministry and just in the church. I think there's two kinds of friendships, too. Okay, this is my own personal thoughts. There's the quality kind of friend or the quantity friend. Quality or quantity? Okay, quantity means you have lots of friends, everybody knows you, you're a social butterfly, very popular, everyone wants to be you or whatever, and you know everyone, but the downside is you don't have a lot of close friends who know you. You have a lot of friends you know, but they're usually more shallow. You don't have close friends that you hang out with, that they know you, and you know them, and you have this connection. Okay, that's the quantity. The other side is quality. These are the kind of people that you only have a close group knit of people in your life, a handful maybe, and you guys do life together. You hang out a lot, you do all this stuff together. They know you, you know them. It's like this close, intimate bond. But you don't have many friends outside of that group, out of that circle. It's just you. Okay? So which one are you? Are you the quantity or are you the quality? Me, I am the, what do you think? I mean, you're curious to know why, but we don't have time for that after sermon. But yeah, I'm the quantity guy, okay? Because I moved around a lot. Every 5 years, go to a different place, move to a different place after 5 years. I've been here for almost 8 years, so that's weird for me. That's like, I'm seeing your face for 8 years, that's like, it's weird, okay? But it's cool, I like it, I love you guys. But it's different for me. I didn't grow up being in one place all the time. So I had to adapt, I had to be flexible, so I made friends. Socialize with different people. But I never got deep and close with them because I'd have to move. And so I didn't learn how to be vulnerable, intimate, and have these strong, close friend group of friends throughout my life. It's always been different pockets of people. And just kind of help you understand that, like, even in college, when I would know a lot of people in college. And so my friends, when they would walk with me to, like, the cafeteria, it's like 5 minutes away, they always complain. And they always get mad at me because when we take that 5 minute walk, it would take 30 minutes to actually get there. Because when we're walking there, you meet someone you know. And you start chit-chatting them for a little bit, and it turns into a 5-10 minute conversation. You're done with that conversation, you walk to the cafeteria, and then you meet another guy or girl, you talk with them for a little bit, 5-10 minutes, and all of a sudden, a walk that should have taken 5 minutes takes like 30. And so my friends always complain and get mad and upset. Okay? And so that's kind of how I grew up with, and that's kind of like my friendship style. And even on my Facebook account, I have like over 1,000 friends, which I'm proud of, but not that big of a deal. I have a lot of friends, but in all honesty, I don't really know them all. I don't have this deep connection with 1,000 of them. It's pretty shallow for a lot of them, but we're friends. And so Grace has this theory that I'm like a Facebook friend, this is an inappropriate word that goes after that, but where I just Facebook friend anyone, and if they want to be my friend, I'll just accept it, and vice versa. And so I have all these people I know. And so she tests me one day, and she said, I bet you don't know everyone that you friend. And I was like, I know every one of those 1,000 people. It's only 1,000 people, not that many. I know them all. And so she gives me a test. She says, well then, who is Eunho Lee? And I'm like, oh yeah, I know her for sure. Like I'm telling her, like trying to like buy myself time, but like, yeah, I know her. Like, yeah, we go way back and just talk all this BS stuff, right? And then in my head, I'm thinking like, who is she? Like, where do I know her from? I have no idea. Like, is she from this stage of my life in Taiwan? Or is she from college? I don't know. So I'm trying to buy myself time. And, like, I make these guesses. And I'm obviously wrong. And she's laughing at me. And she won't even tell me. And so I have to look on my Facebook and be like, who are you? So that's kind of like me. Like, I don't know. I know a lot of people. But I don't know them intimately close enough. And that's changing for me, obviously, right now. But that's kind of my background. I'm more of a quantity kind of guy. But among all my friends, the closest group of friends that I do have are my Christian friends, my church friends. Growing up in college, those are the guys that I hung out with a lot. We did a lot of stuff together. Just to give an example, my senior year in college, I lived in a house, and we had a 4-bedroom house with 10 guys living there, okay? And people would come in and out of that house. We'd have our church events there, our college stuff in there. Like, it was like a hub of all this stuff. It got so crazy, social, and big that people called it the frat house for Christ. It's like a Christian frat house. It's holier, right? But it was just so crazy. We just did all these stuff for Christ and God, and it was just so crazy. And those are my close group of friends. But even though they were my close group of friends because we hung out a lot and we did church together, I didn't really feel connected with them all the time. I didn't really feel like they knew me or they understood my struggles and issues. I didn't feel like we were that close at the same time. Even though we were physically and we did a lot of stuff together, I didn't feel that connection or closeness of fellowship. And that's partially my fault too, because as a guy, guys don't usually share. Guys don't usually pour out their feelings and their issues, and I definitely didn't. And so that kind of creates a barrier for that connection, that fellowship, that quality friendship. That's why we did have a lot of more superficial, not deep, quality kind of godly friendships. And the reality is, a lot of the friendships here today that you guys have with your church friends or your Christian friends are the same. There's no real difference that you guys have with your Christian friends than you do with your non-Christian friends or your worldly friends. They're sometimes they look the same and they act the same, where there's no real depth, there's no real quality, there's no real connection with your Christian friends. It looks like just like any other friends that you have. And that's a problem. Because some of you guys, for your Christian friendships that you guys have, a lot of it is just all about hanging out. And hanging out is a measure of how close you are. Because you think, if we hang out a lot, we must be close. So you guys say, you know, we're brothers and sisters, we know that in Christ, we're family, we're brothers and sisters, so let's hang out. And so you do hang out. So you say, hey, let's go get a meal together. And you get a meal together, and you share some laughs, tell some jokes, and you call that fellowship. And then you go, after school, you go, let's go get boba, bro, or sis, and let's go get some boba and drink some boba, and let's continue to have fun, tell some jokes, and laugh. And then you call that fellowship again. And you hang out more and more, and thinking, hey, we're really close because we hang out so much. And being close equates now to just hanging out a lot and hanging out and being around each other. And there's nothing wrong with hanging out. I think hanging out is great. You need to do that. It's foundational. It's important. But it doesn't necessarily make you quality or godly friends just by hanging out. Okay? And we're going to talk about that more. Because if I asked you, how many of your friends that you have here today, either at this church or outside this church that are Christians, how many of them will be friends with you after high school? Well, you'll stay connected on a regular basis. You'll care about each other, call each other up, and regularly stay in contact. Not every day, but to a certain degree. How many of those friends that you have here in high school will be friends after high school? Are they hundreds? Are they tens? Are they just single digits where you can count them on your fingers? Or for me, it's only like one or two, where I actually stay connected with only one or two of my high school friends. Granted, I went to high school in Taiwan, very far away, so all these different things, but really I only felt really that close with one or two of them. And the reality is a lot of the friendships you have here today probably won't be that close of friends or whatnot after high school, because the quality and depth of your relationship is not deep, is not connected. So what does that mean for us today then? Like, how do we have these quality, godly friendships now? Where do we learn that? How do we do that? Because if we want to have it for our life, how do we do that today? Because it has to start today. And the simple answer is God. God is our example. How many gods do we serve as Christians? Not a trick question. Just one, right? I know some of you guys are like, I don't know, this is kind of wondering about this. But it's not a trick question, just one. We serve one God, that's true. But if you look at Genesis 1:1, if you know the verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? It says God. That's a singular or plural? Singular, right? It's God, one. But if you look at the Old Testament, the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, it's actually not singular form. It is actually plural form, okay? The singular word for God is El, E-L, okay? El. The plural form of God is Elohim, Okay? So in the Old Testament, Hebrew, Genesis 1:1, the first verse of our sacred text, in the beginning, Elohim, plural, created the heavens and the earth. It's a plural. Why? I thought we serve one God. If you look at Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in, does it say my image? No, it says our image. Not my image, he says our image. Let us make man in our image. Plural, not mine. So if we believe in one God, but God is referring to himself in a pluralistic way, how do we rectify that? How do we understand that? For those of you guys who grew up in the church, the answer is Trinity. Okay? You won't find that word in the Bible. It's a word that was made up much later. But we believe in the Trinity. Now this is very confusing. So if you don't understand it, that's okay. Because no one really does. It's so confusing. It doesn't make sense. We only understand what we've been taught in Scripture. And so it's a mystery. So if you think you fully grasp this, you're lying. Because we really don't know. You may understand the truth and the concept, but you don't really fully grasp how it works, the intricacies of the Trinity. Because we believe in one God, but we believe that there's three distinct persons within the one God. There's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Like everyone else gets a title, but the Holy Spirit kind of gets left out. So God the Father, Jesus the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Those three. Three distinct persons within the one God, Godhead. These three are each God themselves. They're not one lesser than the other. They're God, three distinct parts, okay? I know that's really confusing. Like, what? How does that work? I know, it doesn't make sense. You don't have to fully grasp it because none of us ever will. Theologians have been trying to understand it for centuries. We'll ask God when we go to heaven. Just have to know those three basic truths. One God, three distinct persons, each of them are God. One God. Okay? So what is that? Who cares? What is that? How does that work? What does that mean? What does that really relate to us? There's a big theological word if you want to write it down. Perichoresis. Okay? P-E-R-I-C-H-O-R-E-S-I-S. That helps you to understand how the Trinity works. And this is very important for us because I know we're talking about friendship. I'm going to get back to how it all relates. Perichoresis means essentially a divine dance. A divine dance. Because we believe in one God, but there's three distinct persons within the Godhead. How those three persons interrelate and interact is this divine dance. Where they are dancing within among each other. Where they have this mutual indwelling, this mutual connection and interaction and intersection between each of the three parts of God. Where they're almost like dancing among each other. And they have this fellowship, they have this connection, this intimacy, this bond that is so strong that it's filled with utter love, utter truth, and utter adoration and grace and mercy and power. All these positive great things. It's in that Trinity within the three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this fellowship they have in perfect harmony and fellowship and love, they express it equally among each other. The Father shows love to the Son through the Holy Spirit. The Son loves the Father through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves each other through the Father and the Son. So they have this mutual love and connection with each other. So if you understand that, then you understand John 17 when Jesus prays before he gets crucified and he prays for his disciples. I'll just read you what he prays. Jesus says this. He says that all of them, he's talking about you and me, the disciples, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Jesus is referencing the fact that they have this divine dance. They have this connection, this union, this bond that is so close between God the Father and Jesus the Son. And Jesus prays, I want my disciples, the 12 that are with them, as well as us, to be joining in on that divine dance. Jesus prays that we would also be connected intimately in this fellowship of vulnerability, of love, of adoration, and truth. He prays that. He wants that. That's why you also understand in Matthew 27, when Jesus is on the cross, he's about to die, one of his last words was, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment, God had temporarily, the fellowship that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was temporarily broken. Because Jesus had taken on the sins of the world. And so when Jesus cries out in agony, he's saying, this fellowship that we had, this bond, this union, this oneness that we had, is broken. and God is Jesus is heartbroken on the cross, and that's essentially hell for him, because it's eternal separation from the Father, because he was eternally one with the Father before time, in the present, and eternally he will continue to be one. Except in that brief moment, they had that broken fellowship. And Jesus is crying out, dude, I want to be with the Father. I want to be connected. I want this intimacy with the Holy Spirit and God the Father. That was temporarily broken, so he's heartbroken. And he wants that. Only a select few of us will be able to witness and be part of this divine dance between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Only those that God had predestined before time, who Jesus has redeemed through the cross, and through the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us and prepares us to be part of this divine dance with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Only the believers, only who follow Christ and obey Him and love Him. So what? What does that mean for us? Like, that's great. Trinity 101, basic info. What does that mean for you and me? How does that apply practically? Two things. If you understand that, then it has huge implications for you and me as a church and as a friend. One, that means God is eternally personal and relational. God is eternally personal and relational. God does not have any unmet needs. God is not this like lonely, sad God who's like one day thinking, you know what, like I'm so lonely. I want people to love me and worship me because I'm narcissistic and lonely and sad and depressed. So I'm going to create little human beings like this big, and I'm going to put them on this place called Earth, and they're going to worship me in these temples, and it's going to be awesome. I'll get love and I'll feel love and it'll be great. That's not what God did and why God created us. God did not create us because he was bored, because he's like, I have nothing else to do. I've been alive since before time even existed. And got nothing else to do, been there, done that, I'm bored. Let me create some human beings because they are drama-filled. It's like a reality show all the time, so let's just do that. God did not do that. God was not bored and saying, I need some to spice it up in here because eternity is being long. It sucks. God has always been in fellowship, in relationship since before time, because he's always had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three have always been together, loving each other, united together. They've had this great, tight relationship that's so personal and so deep from the beginning, before there was even a beginning. And just the, like, just for me to picture that, like that, the Trinity, just that love, that divine dance, like it's, I would love to see that. And I am part of that, it's just being a believer. But just to physically see that, like I would picture, like, you know, those people who are in love and they're just so sappy in love and they say, I love you more, you know, those kind of people. Like, I picture God saying that to each other, like God saying that to Jesus, like, I love you. And then Jesus saying to God, no, I love you more. And the Holy Spirit saying, no, I love you more. And then just going back and forth, like, oh, I love, right? Because it's just so filled with love. And then like, hey, let's do Bible study now. Let's open your word and just speak your words, and let's get boba afterwards and hang out and, you know, just have fellowship and just love each other. Like, I that's the way I picture it, because they just have so much love for each other. They have this connection and bond that's just, wow, amazing. God is a perfect society within himself. He doesn't need other people. He doesn't need you and me. He created us because he wanted to show that love and give that love, not to receive and take that love. God created because he had an abundance of it, because he has been personal and relational without you. He's always been it. That's his characteristic. That's his heart. That's who he is. So he wants to give that and show that with you and me. He doesn't want you to, he didn't create you for himself. He created so that you can understand his love. And we can have this divine dance together. Because if you understand the Trinity and you understand God is personal and relational, that is our model and example for us as a church and as a friendship in Christ. We look to God, the Trinity, the divine dance as our model and example for how we as a church are supposed to relate with each other and how we're supposed to relate with God. We do this divine dance together with God, and we do it with each other among the church as brothers and sisters, as friends. And if you do that, you have a deep connection with God. You have this deep divine dance with each other as friends. So what does that mean practically? Let's get concrete here for a second as we close, because that's what we're trying to be here. More concrete, more real, more honest. Try to be practical, because we don't want to just talk about it. We want to do it. So there's three things I'm going to suggest. These three things are simple. They're not mind-blowing. You've heard it before, but I'm going to encourage you to do it and try to do it and try to convince you that how important these three things are. For some of you guys, this whole friendship thing means hanging out. Hanging out with each other. I know this is like so obvious, like what? Friends hang out. I know. But some of you guys are introverted. Some of you guys do not like hanging out. Some of you guys don't even like people. You don't want to be around your friends. You just want to call them friends, but not hang out with them. I want to just suggest that you need to hang out with them. You need to spend some time with them. You need to actually get out of your bubble, the computer, the internet, the Facebook, the game, and go out and physically see that person, not through VChat or not through whatever chat you do, but actually go hang out with them. It makes a huge difference. Okay? Hang out with them. I know some of you guys are like, well, I want to hang out. I really do. I want to call them. I want to ask them out, but I'm too lazy. I don't want to. It's too hard. Get over yourself and take the initiative and just do it. If you really want it, go do it. Make it happen. Don't wait for them to call you and be like chasing after you. You also have the ability to go out and do it yourself and take the initiative to get involved. You have all these opportunities right here to get involved. You have the opportunity to come to Friday night, the opportunity to go to MK24 and make a life-changing impact on North Koreans. You have an opportunity to go to Creation Seminar in Grand Canyon, Haiti Mission, Homeless Ministry. All these different things are at your fingertips if you will only come, if you will only take the initiative to hang out with your brothers and sisters or your friends. I'm not just saying at church, wherever, outside, go hang out, go get a meal with them, go do something with them, hang out with them. For some of you guys, that is so important and crucial because you do this a lot, click, 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 where you need to go and do talk with them outside, okay? For some of you guys, that's very important. For those of you guys who do hang out very well and you guys, that's all you do, I will submit and encourage you to do these two things. Center your friendship on Christ. Center your friendship in Christ. What does that mean practically? Do two things. Read the Word together and pray together. Read together and pray together. Simple. I know, it's not mind-boggling. I didn't make this stuff up. It's from the Bible. Simple, powerful. If you want quality friendships, if you want deep, Christ-centered friendships, you got to read the Word together. You got to pray together. Reading God's Word, when you do that, you're exercising your spiritual muscles to strengthen your friendship and your relationship. When you read God's Word together, you strengthen the muscle of your friendship together. Example, me and Grace met her in Korea. Only two English speakers in Korea, so we just did Bible study by ourselves every week. We meet up, read God's Word together, or read a Christian book together. We talk about it, share our struggles, share our issues, pray for each other, and just have this connection as friends, as brothers and sisters. And we just get to know each other and share life through God's Word, because God's Word guided our friendship and our relationship. And it got so close and so intimate that I married her, okay? So it's awesome. Don't do it for that. But there are benefits. Do it among your own gender. But read God's Word together as friends. Guy to guy and girl to girl, okay? Don't try to mix it up. Not always a good idea. Also, example, Jonathan and Andy, when I was junior high pastor, 8th grade. I remember them many times. They come to church, and they open the Bible together and read it together. And because they did that, they were close. They hung out a lot. They talked about God a lot. They tried to make Christ the center of their friendship. And it's evident in how they interacted with each other, how they had fun with each other, how they tried to do Christ in their life and friendship. And they were close. I don't know about now, if they read it now together. I don't think they do. And I think maybe that's why they're not as close, okay? I don't know about that. Just a possibility thrown out there. I love them. I love that. I've known them for so long. So I'm not dissing them. But sometimes if you start out well by reading God's Word and then you don't do it, your relationship will start to fizzle out too. It'll be hard to maintain that intimate, quality, godly friendship. So you got to read God's Word together. I have people I know, like, I want to try to be very practical and give you real people too, but brothers in EM, they meet on Saturday and they read God's Word together. That's all they do. They don't come and go like, hey, let's just get boba, let's just hang out and play golf or whatever. They go and read God's Word together for like an hour or two. They just read it, talk about it, share the struggles and issues, and see how God's Word is speaking to them, how God is leading them, and they pray for each other. Those friends, those brothers, they're going to be lifelong friends, no doubt. Because no one in their right mind would really do that unless they really want to center Christ in the relationship because they cared about each other that much. To encourage, to rebuke, to challenge each other. Secondly, pray. Pray together. And I'm not just talking about, hey, let's just pray twice a year at retreat and have this great experience and then I'll wait the next 6 months to do this whole thing again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about pray regularly where you take the initiative, where it's not forced or asked upon you, but you just want to do it because you love your friend, you want to pray for them, you want to pray with them because you love them, because you want to bring the divine dance, the Trinity, into the friendship, where you want to bring your friendship into the Trinity and have this divine dance with God the Father as well as with your friend, where that connection, that intimacy is so deep and so strong. So interesting though, today, prayers, how we do prayers today, because a lot of times, I'll ask you guys, like in Bible study or just personally, I'll be like, how are you doing? And a lot of times you'll say, I'm good, I'm okay, or whatever, right? You give me very shallow answers. And then at the end of the Bible study where we're talking about, I'll say, what is your prayer request? And then it's like, for some reason, that's like a light bulb comes off, and that's like, this is my time to dump everything and share all my struggles and issues and have you pray for me, right? That's like, prayer request time is now your time to like be open and real versus what can you do at the beginning when I asked you? So we can talk about it and work through the issues and then pray and deal with it rather than do it at the end when I'm like, I'm about to leave, I want to go, but sorry, cut you off, right? My point is, don't just let that prayer request time be a time where you're real with each other. Do it throughout your friendship and then pray. And then pray with each other, pray for each other during the week because you know what's going on. Don't let that small little window of prayer request time to be your real, authentic time. Do it throughout the friendship, throughout the relationship, because that's what we're supposed to do. The whole divine dance thing, it's always ongoing. It's not just, oh, holy time, prayer time, this is my time to speak honestly, and not even that honestly, but just a little bit here. That's not your time to do it. You got to do it before that, and then pray for each other, because that's way more powerful. Your prayers will be more powerful. I know some of you guys, well, a phrase that I always say since junior high, some of you guys know it if you've been there that long, is a friend that prays together, stay together. Okay? If you pray together regularly and you bring Christ in that friendship, you will stay together as friends. I guarantee you. I know some of you guys highly doubt that and you guys don't believe that, and I'm sorry if you do, but I would submit that perhaps you don't believe it, because when you do it, when you pray, your prayers are just ritualistic, routine, not Christ-centered. It's just going through the motions, and it's not regular. It's just like this once-in-a-lifetime thing, and then you think, I'm done. I don't need to do it again. Where you don't really share your heart and open up your heart, you just tell them and give them a little bit. You can't really pray godly prayers unless you give your whole heart into it, and they give your whole heart into it. Because the divine dance requires you to be intimate, vulnerable, and authentic. You can't be partially that. It has to always be that in a regular basis. Example. I'll give you some examples for me in my personal life, because I know this is true for me and it's true for many other people. Where I have friends in different life stages who will always be lifelong friends because we centered it in Christ through prayer. It doesn't mean I'm always hanging out with them because I'm busy as a dad now. I have other responsibilities here at this church. We don't always get to hang out and do all these things together, but we're always connected through Christ. If they ever need a help or struggling, I'm always there for them. I'm always there to help them because I care and love about them because we centered it on Christ. For instance, some of you guys know the guy, my friend Chuck, right? He's come here before and you guys have met him. Chuck, if it wasn't for Christ, we would not be friends, okay? We're only friends because of Jesus Christ and the church, okay? Normally, if it was a different context, different place, we would not be friends because we're very different. He doesn't play sports. I play sports. He's into computers. I just use them. I don't know how to work them, right? He knows all this different stuff. We are so different in so many ways. It's only because we had Christ and the church together, we came together through that, we're lifelong friends. So even in college, every year we have like these parking lot conversations. We just go and share, pour out our hearts, our dreams, our struggles. We cry sometimes and we pray always for each other. Because we've done that so much, he's a lifelong friend. Whatever he needs, I'm there for him. Whatever I need, he's there for me. Even though we don't interact and see each other as much now, he's still a great friend. I have other people in EM that I meet with weekly. And we do the same thing. We share our struggles, our issues, and call each other out, rebuke, all these different things. And we always pray at the end. We always center in on Christ. And those brothers, I know them intimately. I know them their struggles and their issues, and I love them for it. And because of that, they center on Christ, they're lifelong friends. If they are struggling or need help, I'm there for them, they're there for me. You guys know Pastor Song, right? Some of you guys, if you guys were in elementary. He's no longer here. But I meet with him, at least we try once a month, where we just share, try to talk about our lives and our struggles, and we pray for each other. He's a good friend, and I care about him. So if he's struggling, yeah, like I met him up recently, we talked about his ministry, his church, and we pray for each other. We have that bond and connection, and I love him. If we didn't have Christ, I wouldn't care about him as much. There would be no love connection because we don't have the divine dance. And even to the last example, Yale, teacher Yale, he just left, right? I don't even know him that long. We've only known each other for like less than a year. But because we've gone through life so much, we struggle, we cry, we've shared a lot of crazy moments together in a short amount of time, and he's no longer at this church, and I don't see him as often and much. But because we've gone through all that, and we've centered in Christ through prayer, he's a lifelong friend, where I feel that connection with him. If he needs something, I'm there for him. If I need something, he's there for me. We have this mutual love for each other because we brought the Trinity into our friendship, where we are in the Trinity ourselves. While we pray for each other, while we connect with each other, we have this deep fellowship that the Trinity teaches us and models for us. When you have friendships that are based on Christ, they will always last your whole life as well as into eternity. But if your friendship is based on an activity or a thing, it will fade. Some of you guys, all your friendship is based on an activity or a thing. Where it's like for me, I have my basketball friends. So if I want to play basketball, if they want to play basketball with me, they call me up and I call them up. That's it. That's all we do. Just basketball. I have other friends in high school that we just play video games, right? Play Counter-Strike, play Warcraft, we play Command & Conquer, if you guys know that game, right? That's all we did. Those are my computer game friends. That's all we did. All we talked about. Then we have my other friends. School friends, academic friends. If I need a question on an answer, I go to them because they're smarter than me. So I just use them kind of. And they don't get much from me, but I use them. Some of you guys have those academic friends where you just use them or they're there because of academics, their smartness, their grades, or whatever. That's all you talk about. That's all your friendship is centered on. Some of you guys have friends that are just drinking friends where you go and you just drink together. Some of you guys have smoking friends where all you do is just smoke together. Some of you guys have drug friends where you just get high and that's all you guys do. And you guys will talk about some deep things when you're high or whatever, but there's nothing really deep about it. Some of you guys have other friends, party friends, sex friend, gossip friend, hate friends, where you come together because of a thing or an activity. And that's all your friendship is really centered and based on. And if that is your friendship and that's what your friendship is based on, I'm sad to say this, but that friendship will not last. That friendship will burn and crash whenever that activity or thing fades away. And it will fade away. It will not last very long. Because there's no depth. There's no connection. There's no divine dance in that. The presence of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, is not in that. He's in the Word of God, in your prayers, in this fellowship connection that you have. Your friendships that you have with your brothers will always be long-lasting because there's an element of sacrifice. There's an element of giving of yourself for each other because that bond is so strong, where you're willing to give so much of yourself to that friend because it's centered on Christ. Because you also have a friend that sacrificed so much for you, sacrificed his life for you. He loved you that much, and he calls you a friend. John 15, 12 to 15, this is what Jesus says. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You, Jesus saying, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Jesus calls you a friend when you believe in him and understand that he sacrificed his life for you, his friend. And that's why the Christian bond is so strong. Because we have an element where we're willing to sacrifice our lives for our friends. Because we're doing the divine dance, the Trinity, within all of us. But it has to start somewhere. So wherever you are at, wherever God's calling or asking you to do, just do it. Just pray.